welcome to MTF's This Is Africa, the filmmaker's podcast for anything and everything film in Africa. We're based in Gaborone, Botswana, but we speak on all film news across the continent. I'm Serene Serena, filmmaker and scriptwriter.
And I'm Nikita Mokhware, professional whoop whooper, scriptwriter and actress. Today we're going to be talking about a film set on reviving the Congolese film industry. Hectic stuff. Mm-hmm. Women in film, I mean, doing the things, when are we not? And us seeing what happens when Nollywood meets Bollywood.
Yummy. And we'll also take a look at Botswana and the changes they're making in regards to the creative industry.
Hey, I'm really excited about that story. I mean, it's going to bring so much change to our industry.
Right? Hey. It's beautiful.
Hey. But jumping into our first story, congratulations on order for Namibian filmmaker Arantxa Bedeke. You know, it sounds like a beat, you know, when you say it. It's like, Bedeke, Bedeke. It's cool. You gotta admit, it's pretty cool.
I'm not going to get into that. But Arantxa has an animated film called Ruby on Roach. Mm. And it won the best children's film category in the Tbilisi International Animation Film Festival in gorgeous Georgia.
Beautiful Georgia.
This year.
Georgia.
But yes, okay, yes. She's got an animated film that won Best Children's Film Category in Georgia.
Yes.
And it's beautiful.
Yes.
I love animation.
You do. Guys, like seriously, if you ever want to talk animation, if you ever have anything to do with animation, holler at your girl,
Serene. If you want me to be in your animations.
You know, like, guys, she's in it. She's in it. I love watching it. She loves talking and actually doing it.
I love writing it. Guys, it's animation.
Just, yay! She's the one to go to. Mm. But
right. So this story is called Ruby on Roach.
Yes.
And it's all about two toys on sale at the airport that are rejected by the buying public because they look different from other toys in the store. So they plan an escape, and guess what? They end up somewhere totally unexpected.
I mean, I don't blame them for not getting bored.
Nikki.
I mean, tell them what one of the toys are.
Oh my gosh, Nikki,
say
please.
Ruby and Roach. Nikki. Tell them what is Roach. Tell them. What's Roach?
Oh yeah, the characters are an elephant.
Is a cockroach. A whole cockroach, bruh. No, I'm still unsure about that choice. I'm just like,
Come on. It looked really cute in the trailer. They're both made of patterned cloth. You know, Ruby, the elephant, is all clothy and beautiful. Roach, the cockroach, is really cute, you know. And the animation is all toy-like. It's
no!
Cute.
Why did it have to be a bug? Why? Why, Arantxa? Why? 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 And please don't try act all chilled, Serene. Out here busy almost breaking my laptop when I tried to show her Lucas the Spider videos.
Okay, listen, that is different.
It wasn't different.
Nikki, Lucas is a
Lucas
spider.
Lucas the Spider videos, right? It's this really cute YouTube channel where it shows, like, the spider, right? I hate spiders. But it's literally the cutest spider because of the voice. It's got, like, this 2-3-year-old voice. And it's just, like, running around doing cute spider things. Cute is adorable.
First of all, it's a 3D textured spider. 3D. That texture makes it look too real. It's a flipping tarantula, Nikita. No.
It really is. It's that spider weather. You know, the elbows are up off the ground. It is pretty bad. But Lucas is fun, though. He has the cutest little voice. And he plays tag with his human roommates, even though the roommates don't know that it's tag.
First of all, spiders don't play tag. That's unnatural.
Come on. Toys coming to life is normal. That's natural.
Listen. Okay. We're digressing.
Oh, now we're digressing. Cool.
As I was saying, Ruby and Roach was a hit in film festivals around the world last year, despite one of the main characters being a cockroach.
I mean, yeah, no, it really is quite a good film.
Thank you. That stop motion, it flows so beautifully.
It does.
And stop motion itself, it's a lot of work. You know, it's moving and photographing real objects frame by frame to create flawless motion.
Bruh.
But this was right up Arantxa's alley. She's a writer and a puppeteer.
Oh, yeah,
like, that's her profession.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's really no surprise that it won Children's Best Film. She knew what she was doing.
She knew what she was doing, bruh. And, like, stop motion, guys, if you want to know what's a real labor of love, that's stop motion animation. Because it's so much work, so much time, so much effort for such a... For such a textured and layered type of animation, that it's a thing of you're truly doing it because you're passionate.
Exactly.
There's so many other forms of animation that are faster, but you've chosen. It's about passion.
This. Yes. It's about I love what I do and I'm going to make it great and you're going to love it too because I do it so well.
I love to see African productions at the global market, you know? Mm. Like, it shows growth amongst us, reaching new horizons, gaining new heights. Mm. And while we're on the subject, let's talk about the growth of Botswana's creative industry. And this is going to be through the formation of the National Arts Council Board. I am really excited about this one.
Right?
Girl.
Okay, let's talk about it for a minute.
Okay.
Botswana's Ministry of Youth Empowerment, Sports and Culture Development has requested the formation of a board to sit on the new National Arts Council of Botswana.
Mm-hmm.
The board will comprise of representatives from government, you know, private and public sectors as well. It's basically that medium between creatives and the industry, and it aims to regulate the arts and culture sector, you know, promote good corporate governance, facilitate commercialization of arts in the country, just to name a few.
I mean, yeah, like, that's what it's supposed to do, and it sounds amazing. Mm. Like, I am excited about it, but it's been a long time coming, don't you think? Like, it's kind of way overdue.
Well, yeah. No, definitely, definitely.
Just a little.
I mean, talks of establishing a council have been ongoing since 2016.
2016!
Listen. It was finally established, though, through the National Arts Council Act, which was passed by Parliament on the 17th of September, 2020.
Ooh, 4 years later.
I know. But these things do take a while to set up. You know, it's such a legal process. Just think about it. You know, there's offices you got to go through, you know, from government to private to talking to people themselves. You know, the endless meetings, campaigns, lobbying the creators together. I mean, we come from this thing of we're still learning how to collaborate.
So you
can imagine what a feat that is.
Yeah, no.
It's enough to give you a headache. It sounds hectic.
And I mean, we're no strangers to the trials and tribulations that come with red tape.
You know,
like, there's so many hoops to jump through and so many papers to sign before the people can be like, okay, yeah, this is a thing now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess 4 years is understandable, but it still hurts. It still hurts.
It does.
Okay, but then, all right, who's on the board then?
Okay, well, the ministry has enlisted the help of the Public Enterprises Evaluation and Privatization Agency.
Mm.
That's a mouthful.
PIPA. For short.
PIPA for short.
If it's too much of a mouthful, just go PIPA.
Yeah, well, PIPA, the agency, has invited expressions of interest from the public.
I saw that.
Right? Mm. Yeah, you know, so basically it's individuals who demonstrate executive or senior leadership, strategic business management, and a special knowledge or interest in, you know, matters regarding or relating to the purpose of the council.
Mm.
Basically, you're creatives, because who knows the industry more than us, right?
I mean, you know, like, it makes sense at the end of the day. But better late than never, I guess, you know.
Exactly.
We can go on and on about, oh my gosh, red tape, but let's just be happy for where we are now.
Yeah.
We've come a long way. And what matters now is to just show face and make moves.
Mm.
So it's good to see, at the end of the day, that Botswana is taking these steps to regulate the standards of cultural and creative expressions, which is so important.
Yeah.
There's so many different avenues of the creative industry. It's about time we put some structure in to regulate and maybe even open way to the formation of film and TV guilds, you know?
Right.
That could be really cool.
I'm really looking forward to that. You know, we're talking screenwriters guilds, animation guilds, directors guilds.
Mm.
You know, it's funny because whenever I think of these, like, the names, guilds, they all sound like just fancy names and titles. But the more you think about it, it's these kind of organizations that make sure that artists are taken seriously.
Tell it, girl.
Financially and professionally.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the industry grows.
Exactly. It's not a new concept at all. You know, like, I mean, Hollywood's had the recipe going for decades. If you look at South African's film commission that's there, you've got Kenya's Riverwood, Nigeria's Nollywood.
You know?
These are all, you know, examples of what creative governance can achieve.
Exactly.
And how much more better when it's, like, you know, proper, structured, good. It's going to take a while for us to get to a point where I feel like, you know, we're like, okay, this is, like, it's commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
For now, it's still very new, very exciting, but it definitely needs to happen.
I just hope that more
creatives jump on it.
I hope so, too. I mean, we can only hope at the end of the day. I mean, what do they say? Slowly but surely wins the race.
Thank you.
The fact that we've started.
Yeah.
It goes a long way. I'm excited.
Mm.
And but hey, isn't this what our guest star in our first episode was talking about? You know, talking about how Botswana has taken a while to fully develop our creative industry. Mm-hmm. But the next coming years are fueled by change and resilience.
You know?
Here we are.
The time for change. We've been saying that, you know, a lot of the industries on the continent are going through major change. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to now see it in higher levels. You know, not just the creatives saying it, but now also government.
Our stakeholders.
Thank you. Yeah. Lending a hand and going like, yes, we are changing. We are doing the things. It's really, really great.
It's beautiful.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's a nice little update for 2021. You know, I think it's really looking good for us. 2021 seems really good right now.
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it. When it's too soon. We're only in February, bro.
Come on.
I said, no, we're taking things slow.
You know what? Forget you. I've got a really positive outlook. I really do. I mean, look at all the exciting things happening right now. Like our very own Multi-Joy Salon Factory alumni who have been nominated in Kenya's Women in Film Awards.
Congratulations, ladies. Yes, Sheila Gatoni, Tekla Joan, and Michelle Angawa. There we go. Michelle Angawa. Mm-hmm. And they've each been nominated under various categories. Best set designer.
Best cinematographer.
And best location sound recorders. Mm-hmm. I mean, I gotta admit, it's nice to see women getting nominated for such.
What do you mean?
Like, it's not often women are acknowledged for their cinematography skills or being proficient as on-set sound recorders, you know? Like, they've always been there. I'm not saying it's the first time they've taken such roles, but we rarely hear of them. It's you know, art direction, assistant director.
Screenwriter.
Hey, you know, it's nice to see them branching out more in terms of recognizing our skills.
Okay, no, I get you. Mm. Good thing is the industry really slowly is closing that gender gap.
Hey.
It's slow, but we're getting there. Sheila herself mentioned that she's so honored to be nominated during this time when the industry is blossoming with talent.
Hey, talent is popping. Mm-hmm. You know what that means, though. Competition's getting tighter, girl. Hey.
Yeah,
African creatives got to bring all of the sauce if they want to make an impression.
Game faces on.
Ooh! Imagination unhinged.
Determination locked and loaded.
Oh, yes. Determination is really important. I mean, all filmmakers know how hard our industry can be on us. Like, just look at the recent past months for filmmaker and novelist Tsitsi Dangaremka. One second, she's getting great news, you know, about a novel. The next, boom, she's arrested.
Yo, I heard about that. Mm. That is so crazy. Mm. Like, it's been, her life is such a roller coaster.
Hey, honestly, like, she's been through so much, but she stood strong through it all. Always dedicated to her work. Huh?
She has. Hmm. I mean, let's just take a look at her track record for a second.
Let's do it.
Her first novel, Nervous Conditions, was published in 1998, but she'd actually written it initially in 1985. There was a delay. Yes, why? Publishing difficulties. She'd been rejected by 4 Zimbabwean publishers until eventually she found a willing publisher in the London-based Women's Press. Emphasis on Women's Press.
And it's not the first time you hear of these kind of stories where something that's gone on to redefine society as we know it was initially not welcomed. It wasn't, you know, with open arms, you know, because Nervous Conditions has now gone on to be considered one of the best African novels ever written.
Mm.
It has had domestic and international acclaim. Mm-hmm. First novel written in English by a black woman from Zimbabwe.
Imagine.
And on top of all of this, it was included on the BBC's 2018 list of top 100 books that have shaped the world. Like, it's just so crazy how to one person it might not seem like a big deal, but then in the grander scheme of things.
You know? And if you just talk about the reason why it wasn't considered a big deal. We all know. The fact that it's the Women's Press that took it up. But you know what I love about Tsitsi's story? She's always been determined.
Please.
She's always been pushing regardless.
Please.
Determination is the thing. Determination determines destinies.
Oh, say it again.
Determination determines destinies.
Boom.
Because did this woman not go to Berlin to study film in 1989?
When?
Got her to found Nyerai Films in 1992.
Nyerai.
And she wrote the highest grossing film in Zimbabwean history. The classic.
Ooh.
The timeless. Neria.
Neria. Yay! Oliver did what he had to do for that soundtrack. Man, I grew up on that song.
We all did, man. Like, we all did. But I gotta admit, I didn't know it was from a film. Like, I just learned recently. I was like, oh my gosh.
Okay, wait. Yeah, no, me neither. I mean, we were too young to catch that, but we weren't too young for the song, mm-mm, though. We know the song.
But going back to Tsitsi, mm-hmm, in 2002, she founded the International Images Film Festival.
Yo.
And from there, a lot of her focus really, really shifted to films.
Yeah, whole festival.
You know, and when asked why she hadn't written anything since Nervous Conditions, she was like, you know, the book had been published right in her shift from novel writing to film.
Yeah, hey. So, and as a creative, even though we can be multidisciplined, it takes a lot to give attention to every single one of those disciplines.
Mm.
It's okay to just, you know, focus on one thing at a time sometimes.
Yeah, and it's not like she gave up on writing. I mean, she did go on to publish The Book of Not and This Mournable Body,
exactly,
which finished the Nervous Conditions trilogy.
Mm.
So yeah, you know, sometimes it's really just about knowing what to focus on at a time.
And that trilogy, yeah, it's... I've heard things, all right? Like, I desperately want to read it. But I'm also scared of crying for 3 days and three nights afterwards, all right?
Yeah, I've heard it's quite the story.
Painful.
It's a painful journey. It's painful.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's worth it, but it's a painful journey.
Imagine I read it in public. Now my tears are wetting my mask. I don't have a spare.
Wait, then don't read it in public.
No, it's such a well-known book. How to show off. Especially since the third one, This Mournable Body, kinda it was long-listed for the Booker Prize. And
it was.
Mm.
Mm, beautiful.
Then,
but it's crazy. Like, because 4 days later... she got arrested.
That's when she got arrested.
I know, guys.
Arrested with a friend, even in Harare, the Zimbabwean capital. And they'd been arrested for protesting about government corruption last year.
Mm.
And luckily, she got released a day later. But I mean, come on, it must have been such a frightening experience.
I'm pretty sure I would be shook.
Shook.
I know I'd be shook. But you know what I love about her?
Mm.
I love a lot of things about this woman.
Hey.
Despite all that mayhem, despite all those struggles, she's still dedicated herself to her craft.
Mm.
She's invested the last 8 years of her life in writing.
Mm.
And she says, I quote, because I need to have some good scripts against the day when things open up for black women like me making films about the lives of black women. And I think it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
End of quote. Personally, I know it'll happen.
No way.
She has 4 films that are really advanced and could be made right now if she got the funding. So guys.
I mean, is anyone out there listening?
You know? And she's also working on a dystopian young adult novel.
Hey, after the bombshell that was Twilight, I mean, I'm looking at that YA novel like, guys,
guys,
we might have something here.
Right?
But it's like you said, Serene, determination determines destinies. Because did she not, this year, win the 2021 PEN International Award for Freedom of Expression?
She did. An award
that literally celebrates a creative determination. It honors writers who continue working despite being persecuted for their writing.
Mm. Determination.
Destiny.
Determined.
Like, dude, she truly deserves it. I can't wait to see more of her work over the coming years.
Honestly, she's such a role model.
Mm.
Personally, she's my role model. Mm. I mean, I'm a writer.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean...
she's been out here doing the things.
She's been doing the things. Yeah. She's a role model for all African filmmakers. I feel like it's beautiful.
And I hope we can collaborate with her one day.
We better.
Yeah.
We better.
Please.
And we all know collaboration is a big deal in this industry. And if, when big film industries get to collaborate, you know what that means. It's huge. It's happening. One of those collaborations happened and was debuted on February 14th.
Valentine's Day.
It's a Nollywood-Bollywood movie called Namaste Wahala that premiered on Netflix.
Ooh, Namaste Wahala. It's one of the rom-coms I watched.
Who's surprised? You love rom-coms, man. It's your thing. It's your thing. It's
better than the name Namaste Wahala means hello trouble.
And I love that. Mm. Isn't that like a combination of Indian and Nigerian words?
Yebo, yebo, yes.
Right? That's taking collaboration to a whole new level.
And it's the kind of title that pulls you in, you know? It gets you interested right off the bat. It's like, hello trouble. Yeah.
So, Mrs. Romance, do tell us, what's it all about?
Okay, so long. No, but I mean, it's your classic tale of forbidden love, you know? One interracial couple, 2 families against the relationship, and so many good shots of the male lead.
Oh boy.
He's so
Nikki, let's get back.
Hot.
Just reel it
look
back.
Look at me. He's so hot. He's so hot.
Okay, girl, calm down.
Ruslan Mumtaz.
That's the lead.
Name.
Okay.
He played his character so well. I mean, how do you not root for him? Actually looking like that, like, sir. Woo!
Okay, tell me there's more you liked about the film besides just him.
I mean, was there?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. No. It's a really funny film, though. Like, it blended the two different film languages really well. Because you know how, you know, each film culture has its own language of how they tell those stories.
Yeah.
And it's not just about mixing two different cultures from the countries together. It's you're also bringing two different types of storytelling as well.
Like, Bollywood films are well known for their dance numbers. Not a Bollywood film if there's no dancing.
Come on.
And there is a lot of musical scenes in the film.
Yup. Yeah? And it's so cute because he's singing to her. And I'm like, of course. Because it's like he's introducing her to his world. So his way of telling stories. And that's why he's singing to her. And it's like, oh, I just love it so much.
That sounds so cool, though. No, but it really sounds cool because it's literal.
Yeah.
It's like, a literal, this is my culture.
This is how I tell
this
stories.
This is how we do it.
Like, guys.
No, but it really does sound like a classic rom-com situation.
It was exactly what the doctor ordered. Sometimes it's nice to just kick back and watch a simple, fun-loving story with beautiful storylines, beautiful people.
Okay.
Such a talented.
This is going.
Talented male lead, honestly.
Okay, let's wrap that up. Wrapped? Mm-hmm. Let's wrap that up. Mm. Let's talk about another kind of male lead. One that played a role in the Republic of Congo's history.
I'm enjoying talking about
Nikita wrestling. Valentine is over. Where's your boyfriend?
I left him there. Namaste. Wahala. Fine. Okay, let's move on.
Okay, we're moving on. The next lead I'm talking about is Patrice Lumumba. Mm-hmm. He's a Congolese leader who was assassinated in 1961 and was a highly revered and much-loved human rights leader.
Oh,
Malcolm X himself once said that Patrice was, and I quote, the greatest black man to ever walk on the African continent.
That's quite the opinion to have of someone, I have to say.
It is, it is. And a US-based production company called Congo Rising is the one that's preparing this film on his life as part of, you know, an effort to revive the DRC film industry.
Well, I mean, heard it all before, you know, with this whole thing of like, oh, we're planning to shoot in this place because we want to revive the industry. Mm-hmm. But then my question is, with the production team, does it consist of at least, you know, some Congolese contributors? Like, are there Congolese people on there?
I mean, you're right. We've all heard it all.
Yeah.
I mean, even Botswana, we heard that we had the beautiful movie in United Kingdom.
Oh.
You know, unfortunately, the director wasn't Botswana, the male wasn't Botswana, but I really loved the male lead himself.
Mm. Shame. He was good.
He was really good.
It's nice to have your own people tell your own story.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what they're doing also with this movie.
Okay.
The director himself. Mm. Shopa Kabambi Kashala is a Congolese filmmaker. He's the one who brought us Heart of Africa.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And he'll be co-writing and co-producing the film.
There we go. That's what I'm asking for. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Another writer that's been credited is Veron Okayu on Ugunji.
Yay.
And obviously Congo Rising, the US
company. Oh, the company. Yeah.
So they'll be working with a partner in Congo called Bimpa Production on this film.
There's also another company in Congo that they're going to be working with as well.
Exactly. Bimpa. It's a local company.
Now, that's what I like to hear. Because, I mean, I saw that they're going for a predominantly African cast, you know, that the film will be spoken in the native tongues, Tetela, Lingala, French. But too many times we've seen other people use our faces to tell our stories for us.
True.
It's nice that we, as Africans, are no longer just in front of the camera speaking words we're told to speak. It's now we're behind the scenes, making sure that the words being spoken really do come from our experiences, you know, from our hearts. Mm. It's such a nice shift to see.
And I hear you, and I agree with you. Mm. And I think that's also what Congo Rising really feels as well.
I can, so far, so good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
Margaret Blair herself from Congo Rising mentioned that they plan to take several renowned filmmakers with them to train the Congolese teams in such specialties as sound, as animation, as lighting.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, the departments that you're going to see, you know, in the film itself.
Yeah.
They're even going as far as providing, you know, like a mini grid of solar power so that the internet will be reliable and satellite links can be made so that, you know, there's like lectures and training
okay
from anywhere in the world.
Oh, that's
It's really cool. It's
now
really cool.
That's it's what really cool. I'm talking about. Yeah. Yes. Teach the fishermen how to fish. Don't just give us a cooler box of seafood and go. What's that? What's that? What am I going to do with that? I'm going to eat it and then what? Then what? It's like, oh my gosh. It's like this video. I'm going to be quoting. If you guys know the video, let me know. But literally, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Because what are you going to do with a yolk? And no chicken. You're going to eat it, fry it, then what? Then what? Then what, guys? Teach us how to fish. Don't just give us seafood and go.
All right.
That's all I got to say on that.
No, but it's beautiful. They're doing the things. They're bringing in, you know, the locals. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. It's beautiful.
And I cannot wait to talk about them in our future episodes. But that's all from us today. We got to know about a living legend in Zimbabwe, a historical legend in Congo, and a handsome legend who now lives in my heart.
Oh, wow. Nikki.
Namaste.
Anyways, we also found out more about the Art Council coming through in Botswana and women being nominated for awards in Kenya.
Special thanks to our content contributors Muchemwa Singala, Amber Indongesit, and Aaron J. Tamale for sourcing the news for this week's podcast.
Before we go, show some love for your new favorite podcast by following Maltija Talent Factory on Insta, Twitter, and Facebook to keep up with us and everything related to us.
Boop, boop.
Which countries will we cover next? Malawi?
Cameroon.
Tanzania.
South Africa.
Tune in next week to find out as we continue to bring you anything and everything film in Africa. Same place, same time. I'm Serena.
And this is Nikita signing out.
Salang Sintle.